We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Aaron Boone Report, brought to you by Benjamin Moore, your neighborhood paint experts, by Montefiore Doing More, by Winters Brothers Waste Systems. Conveniently rent a dumpster online at wintersbros.com, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal, wintersbros.com, by Wind Creek Bethlehem Let's Play, and by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees. The manager, Aaron Boone. Aaron, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. First question I got to ask you, Aaron. I mean, this is three years in a row now of four, but you weren't there for that one. Very difficult playoff losses for the Yankees. Is this one more difficult than the other two for you at this point?
I mean, they're all a little bit different in the moment. It's the ultimate, kind of hurt and pain. I remember the silence and the tears and the days of emotional reactions, even from myself, from the series last year. This year was, in a lot of ways equally as painful. But I think they all feel a little bit different too. And I think on the backdrop of this year and all that 2020's been for everyone involved, it just had a different, kind of a different ending to it, but they all sting.
Not to go back and relive every moment of Game 5, but a couple of things from that game. The Brousseau at-bat. Sitting 3,000 miles away at home, I felt something bad coming. The longer that at-bat went, I think Joe said the same thing. You just felt like, this is 10-pitch at-bat, this is not going well. As you're sitting in the dugout watching this battle between Chapman and Brousseau, what's going through your mind as it's unfolding?
That Brasso's having a very, very good at bat, and that Chappie's I thought still throwing the ball really well. There was, in the middle of that at bat, Brasso was able to lay off a split finger, which kind of became a new and really dynamic pitch for Chappie. The final weeks of the season, he laid off one of those, I believe, in a 1-2 count to extend the at-bat, and then obviously he was on a lot of pitches where he was fouling balls off and things like that. So it was definitely a big time at-bat by Brasso, and then finally he did get him.
Any concern about Chapman, Aaron? I mean, two years in a row now he's given up the home run that's knocked you out of the playoffs.
Yeah, not at all. Honestly, like with Chappie, that the psyche stuff, absolutely not. He's fearless. He will remain that way. I understand the ending is, cruel and obviously back to back years with the home runs, but I think it's important to take away a couple things: is who Chappie is, who the person is, how fearless he is on the mound, and I know that'll continue, but also how well he was throwing the ball for us, especially, the final 3 weeks, month of the season. I feel like he's in a really good place throwing the ball. So I have no issue or not even a concern that he's going to bounce back and be a monster again next year.
You guys hit in the postseason, so I can't say you guys didn't hit, especially early on against some elite-level starting pitching. But for the last 4 years, and I'll include 17 because it's a similar roster, and, like, you knew what was going on. I mean, obviously not the manager, but you saw what was happening. It all ends every year with the bats going quiet. Is that just the playoffs? Is there something about this lineup that needs to be tweaked? Like, how do you explain 4 years in a row? It really does, to me, come down to the bats at the end of the day in that final game. Your thoughts?
We only scored one run in the final game. So, but I would say in the series overall, offense wasn't the problem. We scored 4 runs, 5 runs, 10 runs, and we got held down to one run in the final game. And I would just say the team that ends up not lasting typically in a postseason setting where pitching staffs are usually the better or even the elite pitching staffs, the team that goes home ultimately is going to get shut down in a game or two. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So, you know, and I know there's been a lot of talk of how right-handed we are, and which is true. You know, we're very right-handed. But, you know, I think Cash did a really good job of addressing that the other day. It's like, of course, we're always searching for the perfect team, the best balance, the best everything you can have. But there's a cost that comes with this. Do you get rid of a right-handed hitter to bring back a lesser hitter player that's left-handed for the sake of it? And so I think there's a balance and a dance. You got to dance there all the time as you constantly try and upgrade, tweak, and make changes to the roster that, you know, that where you're kind of chasing, you know, to be the absolute best you can be. But there's always, you know, constraints to that.
The decision in game two with Garcia and Happ, I mean, do you look back at that now with some regret that maybe we should not have made that move?
No regret. You know, it was very well thought out. You know, I think very strong case to be made to go the way that we went. You know, I think, look, anytime you do something, and certainly in the postseason, you know, you weigh decisions you make, you weigh things. And we had a couple days to kind of work through that scenario. And you do it with the idea that you're trying to put players and you're trying to give yourself the best chance to win ball game, knowing full well that in the playoffs, if it doesn't work, you know, it's obviously going to be scrutinized. It's part of playoff baseball. It's what makes October baseball so great is, you know, things sometimes work, things sometimes don't. I think that, you know, we run to the, well, if we would have just done it this way, then we would have, of course, thrown a shutout. Well, maybe if we went a different way, maybe it would have been worse.
Right.
You know, who's to say? Like, the answer isn't always just, well, this didn't work, the other way would have worked. The bottom line is it was well thought out, and we put what we thought was our guys to be in the best position to go out and be successful. That's not to say the other way wouldn't have been better.
Absolutely, right.
You know, that's part of it, and that's part of the beauty of the game is we can debate those things, but I think it's a lot more gray than sometimes we want to make it black and white, like, oh, that didn't work. If you would have gone the other way, it would have. So go ahead.
Along those lines, because I do find – because that's a decision, like you said, you thought about it. That wasn't a five-minute decision. You guys thought
right.
about it. You made that decision. You've had a week now, and maybe it's not even in the divisional series. Maybe it's a different point. Is there a move you made where you don't have a few days to sit on it? I mean, when a baseball game's going on, we sit at home, and we're like, I would have done this. I would have done that. You're in the manager's seat, and you got to decide. Is there anything, as you reflect on this year, where you say – I shouldn't have done that. Damn it! I shouldn't have done.
Yeah, in game three, when we were down and chasing, and I think we were down three runs when I brought in Chad Green, and I sent him back out, still down three for a second inning, and he gave up a home run, and we went down four, and I got him out of there right away.
Right.
In hindsight, just knowing what was ahead of us and knowing that we're going to have to win a game four and then obviously a game five, that's probably a scenario where I shouldn't have sent him back out because in my mind it compromised how much length I had out of him going into game five. So that's a game down three where I should have probably turned to someone else for that second inning of work and not sent him back out.
Could that have changed your approach on, because you went to Britton, and I think we all agreed that you took Cole out at the right time. I mean, Brett Gardner goes up, makes this leaping catch. I thought it at home. All right, get him out. You know, he gave you five and a third, get him out, and you go Britton, and then you go Chapman. Would that have changed that maybe Green actually comes into that game before the other two?
Not necessarily, because I did feel like I had Greeny available, and he was ready to go. I just wasn't. It was going to be a scenario where he was up and in to finish an inning or up and in an efficient inning at most. So, you know, my thinking was in a game five scenario, so it's win or go home, obviously. There is no tomorrow. I was not going to not have Britton and Chappie in there in the biggest moments, you know, facing the best hitters, the top of the lineup. You know, I wanted to make sure those guys got in and pitched in the highest leverage situations, which obviously those were in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning in a tie game. And knowing that, you know, I'm probably not going to get all the way through with Chappie unless he's uber efficient. And then, you know, I know I have Greeny coming in behind him, or, you know, if I have a good righty lane, I got Otto or someone else, however we have to plug it in to finish at the very end if Chappie's out of gas.
Aaron, are you guys committed to Gary Sanchez as your catcher next year?
Look, I think we haven't had any meetings, conversations on which way we're going to go with the roster and, you know, what we're going to be able to do and any of those things. The one thing I would say to you, and nothing has changed in the way I feel about Gary and what I feel about his potential. And in so many ways, I feel like sometimes people think I'm just saying it to say it, and it's, you know, the company line, and it's really not. He had a tough year. There's no question about it. But I do believe he finished the year a lot closer to, you know, the Gary Sanchez we've seen in good moments. His at-bats, the final month of the season, the results didn't really match what we were seeing. He was catching really well down the stretch. You know, a lot of it came down to Higgy just really earned a lot of the playing time. And I really feel like had we gotten through the Rays series that Gary was going to play a huge role. He probably would have been starting game one for us in the next series and would not have surprised me at all if he, you know, kind of took it and ran with it. But a lot of it had to do with Higgy's, you know, what he was giving us offensively. You know, at the bottom of the order, he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He was giving us quality at bats. And one of the reasons we've been in the – you've seen Higashioka the last few years is because he really is a talented catcher. He's got great hands behind the plate. It's one of the reasons we were willing to part with Romine ultimately is because of the confidence we had in Higgy. And – so he earned a lot of the playing time at the end, but nothing in my mind. Like, if Gary Sanchez wins an MVP someday, it's not going to surprise me at all. I really feel like that's in there. We've got to continue to work and grind with him to try and pull that out of there. But I still feel like that he's capable of that.
So reading the tea leaves on what you said and what Brian said is that it is going to be a competition, that it's going to be, you know, based on some of the positive things you said about Kyle, too, not just all negative on Gary, that – hey, right, these guys are going to battle it out. Do you think Gary Sanchez, who's had some big years in the major leagues, but he's been under a microscope the last few years, do you think he would respond well to that, where it's a day-to-day proposition on who the catcher is, almost a competition?
Look, this is major league sports, and you know, whether we're talking major league, college, high school, there's always competition in sport. You know, you've always got to continue to earn. But if our catching core next year is Gary and Higgy, you know, I would expect Gary to be our everyday catcher. You know, that's my expectation. That, you know, that's what I think he's capable of. And my hope is that, you know, he has a good winter and we all get back to ultimately getting that out, because I still believe the ceiling is incredibly high.
Though it will be tough to break up the bromance between Kyle and Garrett Cole. I mean, that's going to be tough to do, right?
Well, catchers, you know, catchers, obviously more than any other position, are split the position to some degree. You know, even right, a backup, a true second string catcher is going to catch every fourth or fifth day. So that's, you know, that's, we should be able to do what we need to do there.
Talking to the manager of the Yankees, of course, Aaron Boone. You know, I look at the rotation outside of Cole, and you know, it's shaky. Now, I understand the injury to Severino. You got Herman is coming back. I don't know where he factors in. You got a lot of young arms. Davey Garcia, Montgomery looked good in Game 5. All of that. I mean, all of that. All of that. Game 4, I guess it was Montgomery. All of that, no doubt about it. But, I mean, is that going to be a major point of emphasis going into the offseason about the, you know, fixing, making the rotation better?
Right. Again, I mean, ultimately that becomes a cash question, but we haven't even, you know, again, begun those conversations about what we're going to be able to do. What's the baseball COVID environment? What's the world like? You know, what does free agency and things like that even look like? But I do feel like, obviously, with Garrett at the top of our rotation, we're going to get Seve back at some point, hopefully early in the year. And what Monty was able to do, you know, Davey obviously getting an opportunity here and taking advantage of it at the end of the season. Herman being back in the mix, hopefully. You know, Clark Schmidt and what we believe that, you know, his ceiling is and at some point.
Right.
So we feel like we have a lot of good options, you know, but who knows where we are if we have, you know, another guy in the mix, or obviously Massa and Paxton free agents, what comes of that? I mean, those are all questions that are going to get answered here over the next several months.
Well, we hear so many questions. We've asked, a lot of people have asked you or Brian Cashman, who's making the call with these managerial decisions? Well, here's my reversal on it. As we go to the offseason, are you getting constant calls from Cash on, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Like, how hands-on are you now in this part of the season where it's constructing this roster, whether it's major changes or small changes?
Right. I mean, you know, Cash always keeps me abreast of what's going on, where we're, you know, considering going, getting my input on those kind of things. You know, obviously I live here, so I'm, you know, once I don't know what, you know, COVID's going to look like as far as people going into the park and going into work and stuff like that, but in the typical off season, I'm, you know, I'm in at Yankee Stadium, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week, where I'm up in the front office a little bit having these conversations. So I'm certainly part of those conversations, but ultimately, you know, these roster decisions come down to Brian in the front office making those.
Will you guys move heaven and earth to keep DJ LeMahieu, who's a free agent?
Well, again, that's we're in the early days. Look, there's no denying. I don't have to tell anyone out there just how great a player he's been for us the last 2 years. And I think, you know, kind of the way I've put it, I think if you're rating players over the last 2 years, who's been the greatest players, I think he's on the very, very short list of best players in Major League Baseball and how productive he's been. You know, obviously how good a hitter he is at the top of our lineup, but also just his defensive versatility that, you know, is such a valued thing in today's game. You know, the ability to play several positions and play him at a high level and premium positions at that. So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes, how it all unfolds. It's very early here, but obviously DJ's been an amazing Yankee.
Are you able to watch the ALCS, or does it make you sick?
I watched a little bit of it last night. I actually watched till the end. I have not watched a ton. I've followed, you know, I've had it on. It's been difficult, honestly, to watch these two teams go at it. And so it has been difficult, but I've kept an eye on it. And actually last night's game, I watched the last several innings to its conclusion.
You know, I got to tell you, all right, I know that Brian Cashman would dodge this if I brought this up to him. I'm just going to give a statement. It's not even a question. Michael Brantley is so perfect for your team. He's a free agent. He's a lefty. He puts the bat on the ball. He's such a professional hitter. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you're going to text. You may have already done it because I think it's obvious. But how perfect would he be for this lineup to give it balance, man?
Yeah, we'll see. Although, you know, I think a lot gets lost right now is I think we finished second to last in the American League in strikeouts.
No, I know. No, we've acknowledged that. I got to tell you, Aaron, maybe other people haven't. We've acknowledged it now. Can I counter that, though, for a second? I'm going to counter that.
Yeah.
Giancarlo and Aaron Judge did miss a lot of time, in fairness.
True. And a lot of those games where we were not striking out was a time when we were struggling to score runs. So
right.
They always don't go hand in hand. And I understand there's definitely a premium on being able to make contact. But, you know, sometimes we get fixated on a game where you're facing a strikeout pitcher, and we get focused on that instead of the competition that it is of scoring runs. So, I try and keep the focus on that.
Will you, like, jokes aside, I mean, I won't use Brantley as an example because, this tampering and all that, all those stupid rules, but would you text Brian during the offseason, just a random name, like, I want this guy?
I do that all the time.
All right.
I bring stuff up to him, during the year, when he's in my office, thoughts I have. I'm very much, gotcha. We have that dialogue all the time.
Would you, as you look at your team going, I'm talking to Aaron Boone, any thoughts about, maybe Glaber's really better off at second base, and maybe we could play DJ at first, maybe we could move Luke Voit to maybe get a pitcher, and maybe we re-sign DD to be your shortstop next year?
Joe, I like the fact that you're talking about us and the Yankees as we now. I like that.
Oh, did I say that? Well, I mean you. You know the deal there, Aaron. Come on. You know the deal.
Look, I'm sure there's going to be lots of things that come across Cash's desk, from opportunities to make deals that cause this to move around. But I would say overwhelmingly, especially the guys you just mentioned, and Glaber, and DJ, and Luke, I mean, those are obviously three very important players to our team that we're really happy with and excited for what they're going to continue to do. But you always never know what a winner is going to bring, especially a winner in this environment.
Right.
We're talking to Aaron Boone. Are you able to watch the NL? Is that easier, or is like all baseball kind of tough to watch after you get knocked out?
NL is a little easier. Yes. The first few days of getting home were tough. It's tough, just trying to just get back into and embrace family life and trying to help my wife out and trying to, go see my kids' games and spend time with them. That's the focus. And, fortunately there's football and stuff on that I get immersed into. So, the first few days are very hard to dive back into baseball, but I can't help but to at least keep it on. And now, as I'll be watching tonight, as hard as it'll be, I'll be watching and, see where it all goes.
Watching the game last night, and it's really, and I'm an old school guy. I mean, I go back, my first baseball memory, Aaron, is the Bill Mazeroski home run in 1960. So you know how old I am, okay? All right? But I'm watching the game last night, and it struck me as I'm watching every inning there's a new pitcher. And, some rookies coming in that I never heard of. I mean, and this is this is game five of the ALDS. And mm-hmm. I mean, and it hit me as an old school guy, are we looking at the evolution of the, elite starting pitcher becoming a dinosaur in baseball?
Because they're more coveted than ever.
Really? Okay. I mean, this goes through my mind. I'm concerned about this, Aaron.
No, because I think they're harder, and, it's why we went out and signed Gerrit Cole, and you paid a lot of money to do so. I mean, those guys are gold. Those guys, I think part of it, though, is what we get lost in, and I know sometimes a lot of my old school buddies, like, part of the reason you have different pitchers in the game is because I think more so than even when I played 10, 15, and 20 years ago, the depth of pitchers are actually better. Like, the difference between the 12th guy on a pitching staff and say an ace now is a lot different than it was when Bob Gibson and whoever the 10th man on that staff was.
Right.
That guy is, there's something unique and elite about those guys that are the 12th man on a staff that you can, and now we can really quantify how you match guys up and how their stuff plays against a certain hitter or hitters. So I think you're able to, create some advantages and understand those advantages a little bit more. So I give a little bit of credit to players and player development and what these guys have become now. They're they're a little more unique and elite, especially in small doses in the course of a game.
Do you see, you know, you talk about the elite starting pitchers, and like, you know, like you said, it's even more so they're coveted now. Will we see the day again when the elite starting pitcher is going to give you nine innings, when you're going to let the guy, if he's that kind of guy, go out there and throw 100, 120, 125 pitches, and, you know, I'm not taking him out until he's getting hit?
Yeah, but again, I go back to, like, you know, Gerrit Cole. He's going to go 110, 120. But also, I would, again, go back to guys are at – there are more, in my opinion, more capable guys on a staff now, capable in a smaller dose at that point in the game of coming in and being dynamic in their own right. And I would also say that and a lot of my buddies and guys I played with don't like to hear this all the time. Like, watch, the players are better. The hitters, like, you go through a lineup now, you're not facing three or four, like, you know, undersized guys that can, like, everyone can, even on not the greatest of teams, can kind of take you out of the yard or take you out of the yard to the opposite field, too. Like, that didn't necessarily exist 15, 20, 40 years ago.
Right. Well, I'll end it on a happy note. I assume you'll know what I'm meaning, but happy anniversary, Aaron.
I've gotten a couple of those today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, is that? Wait, hold on. Is today the anniversary of Game 7 and 03? Is that what today is?
That is correct. Wow. Yes, indeed. So happy anniversary.
That's a pretty good moment, Aaron. I'll tell you that.
And Joe, it's good to see you coming on board with the Yankees. And we get Evan over next. You know, it's on tape now.
Aaron, with all due respect, let's not get delirious, okay?
All right. I'll
Thanks
see
for
you
a fun year.
Hey, have a great offseason, Aaron. Take care of yourself, all right, man?
Yep, take care. Yep.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees. He did catch you saying that, Joe.
Did I say we?
Yes, you did.
I don't know what else.
Well, I know what you meant.
I don't think I meant to say we in the respect of my team. We.
No, you meant like we as in, hey, we can move Gleyber Torres. Like not, I know
right,
what you meant.
Right.
I know what you meant. But it's
funny.
He's
all, you know, I like Aaron Boone. I think he's, you know, I think he's a solid manager and he's a good guy. I enjoy talking to him.
Yeah, no, he's fun. And look,
he lightens it up a little bit, and I think that's a good thing. You know?
Well, I also like the reflectiveness of it. Didn't take him very long to come up with something he regretted as far as a movie.
No, no, he did. He jumped right in there, yeah.
Which is the chat. Because it is very different when you have 3 or 4 days to decide on a strategy.
Right.
Whether I like it or not, they had days to think about it, as opposed to an in-the-moment decision, which keeping a guy in or taking a guy out is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.